Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Food Friday, September 4th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome Michael Babcock, founder of WineRacks.com and producer of the Hudson Valley Wine and Food Festival. Founded in 2001, the fest features more than 300 wineries, breweries, cideries, distilleries, specialty food producers, food trucks, artisans, and other vendors in a full weekend of tasting, shopping, live music, and culinary demonstrations. It celebrates its 25th anniversary on September 12th and 13th at the Dutchess County Fairgrounds in Rhinebeck. It's a fine reason to talk about wine today, a subject I know nothing about, but that's no different than any show. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can email voxpop at wamc.org. Michael Babcock on wine right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday today, and wine is on the menu. We welcome Michael Babcock, founder of WineRacks.com. WineRacks.com is a Hudson Valley-based company providing wine storage and custom wine cellar solutions to homeowners, designers, builders, and hospitality businesses nationwide. Michael is also the longtime producer of the Hudson Valley Wine and Food Festival, which celebrates its 25th anniversary next weekend at the Dutchess County Fairgrounds. Today, we'll talk a little about wine. If you have a question or you want to make a comment, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Of course, you may email us at voxpop@wamc.org if you wish, but we'd love to hear your voice. 800-348-2551. Michael Babcock, welcome to the show.
Ray, it is a pleasure to be here. I really enjoy this show. I listen when I can.
Well, that's great. And you're a pretty busy guy because WineRacks.com is a, well, frankly, I'm amazed that WineRacks.com is a thing. Now, I'm not a wine guy. I've said this before. How did you find that market? How did you realize there was a niche there?
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut, Ray, every once in a while.
You got lucky. He's
very lucky. It came about where, you know, I was made aware that wine racks were a thing. Somebody had asked me to help them do a little something in a retail store that they had bought and was turning into a wine shop. Mind you, this is in 1999.
So about 30 years, a little less than 30 years.
Yeah, so quite some time ago. So it was... 89, excuse me.
Okay, so
yeah,
it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. So anyway, I said, okay. And so one thing led to another, and we made some prototypes and, you know, started selling some of these things long before the internet. And luckily for me, a very good friend of mine was a computer scientist, and I learned at an early stage what the World Wide Web was about. So we would hang around the house, drink wine, and have friends over and think up domain names.
Interesting. And so you got WineRacks.com,
yeah.
And it's a pretty big deal. It has been in this area since the beginning, right?
Yeah.
And give us a sense, without delving into your bottom line, and how big of a company this is. How much business do you do internationally?
Well, it's substantial.
Yeah.
You know, WineRacks.com, just the web business alone, is a multi-million dollar operation. You know, our custom cellar design and then our retail store fixtures, it's a major business.
And you're the boss, right?
For better or worse,
okay.
Yes.
Michael Babcock, how in blue blazes do you find the time each year for 25 years now to do this Hudson Valley Wine and Food Fest, which, based on what I've seen on the website, is pretty enormous?
Well, it all comes down to having great people and a good team. I mean, end of story. I mean, if we didn't have the team that we have at WineRacks.com and the competent folks that work with me every day to do all the crazy projects that I come up with, this is just one of many that go on. So this is, and they're used to it. And they work hard, and they're smart, and they enjoy doing it.
Yeah. What'd you do before WineRacks.com?
Rob banks, mainly.
Really? Oh, that's how you got the starting capital. Yeah, well, good for you.
Now, I was in the construction business, building management, property management.
I mean, that's a kind of a big switch. Do you love wine?
I enjoy wine very much.
Yeah, and what's your go-to?
In the summertime, it's a Sancerre from France.
Mm-hmm.
White Bordeaux, I really enjoy those this time of year. But as the fall starts to come up, I definitely like my Châteauneuf de Pops, nice red cabs from France. I like the Italian regions of all the wines, the Tuscanies, the big heavy Tuscans. You know, the Spanish wines are quite interesting. I've been starting to taste them a little bit. So,
what makes them interesting to you?
Well, they've been doing it for a very long time, and they're very affordable. In this market right now, where it's very, you know, between tariffs and all the nonsense that's going on, has really driven the cost of wine up. And so, you know, they have some very good value and very good quality wine.
Do you consider yourself at all, even a little bit, a wine snob?
No.
No.
People ask me all the time, what's a good wine? You know, what do you consider a good wine? And my answer always is, what is good to you? What do you like? How does it taste to you? If it tastes good to you and it's very inexpensive, that's a fantastic wine. The whole enophile world is to go and find the best tasting wine for the least amount of money.
Right.
I mean, that's the goal.
And, you know, I may have done one wine show in all the years I've done this, and I don't remember much about it, but I do remember that, you know, it's sort of an axiom among those in the know that the price doesn't always equate to the quality.
It seldom does.
Interesting. And why is that?
Well, because there's a lot of hype, right? I mean, and marketing. I mean, in some of these big houses, through the French, the French have some very spectacular houses. And quite frankly, their wines are spectacular and they do have value. The California wines, Washington State wines, the Oregon wines, they're all, competing on this big platform. And some of them are, it's about supply. And a lot of these wineries don't have huge, they're not like the Gallows or stuff where they're mass producing. These are handcrafted wines, and they might only produce 2,500 cases of this stuff. So then, that's where the price point comes in.
Does wine travel well? Sometimes bottled beer that comes from Europe can not be that fresh and delicious. When you get wine from Europe, does it travel well?
Generally so, because it's mainly transported in refrigerated containers.
Yeah. Even the stuff that you don't drink refrigerated?
Yeah, you don't want it baking.
Yeah.
The worst thing in wine storage is that you want it still. You don't want it sitting on a refrigerator rattling around.
Why?
Because it just shakes the wine apart.
And that's bad.
Very bad.
So how does it shake apart? It's a
fluid.
Just
the vibration.
Really?
Yeah, just a little
comes
vibration.
Unglued from itself, all
it
the
just,
molecules.
It just ruins the chemistry of the wine. So it's temperature and it's light. So those are the three major things, and that's why, our folks and designers at WineRacks.com know what they're doing for people, and, we can design stuff perfectly.
Interesting. Hey, there are a lot, I think, I don't know, how many wineries are going to be represented next weekend at the Hudson Valley Wine and Food Fest. What are some of the highlights we can expect?
Wow, there's some fabulous wineries. I think there's 52 of them coming in. There's, I know, a number of them have won some national awards. I believe Ben Morrow of the Hudson Valley has won some major awards. White Cliff is another one in the Hudson Valley. I'm not up to speed on all the awards that have been issued through the Finger Lakes folks, but there's a lot of high-quality wine that's going to be on the field that day.
After we take a break, we will talk about some of the more regional wines and sort of the strides that have been made over the last several decades, where, some of these wines are getting, I would say, close to world class.
Well, it's great that you bring that up, because the Finger Lakes region is producing world class Rieslings, Gewürztraminers, Hudson Valley is, a Tyrone in its own, doing Pinot Noirs and, just fabulous stuff. Long Island out on the South Fork out there, just the same latitude and temperatures of Bordeaux.
Very interesting.
So it's like, the wines, Niagara's producing fabulous wines. So everywhere in New York, there's wine being produced at a world-class level.
Our guest today is Michael Babcock, founder of WineRacks.com and the producer of the Hudson Valley Wine and Food Fest, celebrating its 25th anniversary next weekend at the Dutchess County Fairgrounds. Were you there at the beginning?
I was.
25 years ago?
Yeah. So a quick story. We were out at the Aspen Wine and Food Festival. WineRacks.com was one of the sponsors at that time. And it was a very successful event for us. And so we came back, and I was talking in the office. I said, we got to find another, one of these wine festivals to go to for, it was just fabulous for business. So
yeah.
We searched for months and months and months, and there wasn't any. There wasn't one show close to, on the East Coast that was anything remotely the same as that. So I reached out to my friend Norman Gregg at the Gregg Farm, and I said, hey, Norman, what are your thoughts about doing a wine festival at the farm? He says, let's go. And so that's what started it. So we were there for 5 years and basically just it took off and outgrew the farm simply because we couldn't afford to put massive tents up.
Right.
I thought it foolishly at one point we would have a scale of economy, but it was exactly the opposite.
I mean, you have food trucks now, you have artisans, you have food producers. Tell us, we have about a minute before the break, but give me, in your mind, some of the highlights of what is coming up next weekend. Not this weekend, but next.
Well, just the vast variety of different wineries and distilleries and just the artisan quality that is there. The food vendors are just spectacular, stuff you're not going to see anywhere else. We've got some really great live food demonstrations. Our good friend, Rick Orlando.
Rick is a regular on this show.
And he's been a good friend of mine for over 30 years. And this other chef, Vince Trepepi, is a Baird award-winning chef. There's two other chefs coming in from the Food Network. I don't have their name in front of me, but it's going to be a pretty spectacular. It's always fun. And, they're demonstrating, and if you get there quick and early, you get to sample some of this stuff. Debbie Giaquano, the Hudson Valley wine goddess, does a great wine seminar on Saturday afternoon. There's cheese vendors. There's just live entertainment. The food trucks are spectacular. They're from all over the Northeast. And it's like, I consider them gourmet restaurants on wheels.
Well, good thing it's at the Dutchess County Fairgrounds because you need all those entrances. You need to get all the trucks in. It's pretty exciting stuff. We'll take a quick break here. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Wine Today with Michael Babcock. We'll be back. Mr. Basie at Molasses here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Wine Today with Michael Babcock from WineRacks.com and the Hudson Valley Wine and Food Fest. All right, you ready for a question here?
Sure.
Here's an email. Not exactly about drinking wine, but this one came in an hour or so ago. This is from John. Can you tell me a good plant-based wine to deglaze the pan when I'm caramelizing onions? Let me stop you there. Is there a meat-based wine? I mean, aren't they all plant-based?
Well, I was going to say, grapes are plant-based, number one.
Right.
But, John, I have a question for you. What is the onions going on? Is it going to be a meat-based, or is it a fish or chicken? So that's going to determine which wine you're going to use. Meat or, some kind of red meat, you're going to want a really good, rich red wine. Like a Cab or Bordeaux, and any wine you're going to use, you want to make sure it's a quality wine that you like to drink, not, you know, you don't want to put the cheap stuff in there because you're going to be consuming this. And conversely, white wine, a good Chardonnay or, a Sancerre, I wouldn't waste it on that. But, Sauvignon Blanc or something of that, Pinot, anything on that on the light side. So
I assume you can get a discount at WineRacks.com when you want one. How big is your wine cellar?
Well, probably around 1,000 bottles.
Yeah, 1,000 bottles. And what is the, you don't have to give me, just give me a couple of the rare ones that you're saving for the end of the world.
I've got a few decent Bordeaux that are sitting around that are pretty nice. And
tell me about, and again, I must confess, I'm a whiskey guy. I guess there'll be some distilleries next weekend, too.
Come on down, Ray. But I got you covered.
But the thing is, how do you store wine? People talk about wine cellars. They're usually basements. But how do you store wine and keep it for long periods of time without it going corked or without it going bad?
So you need to have a few things going for you when you're storing wine. You need to have the environment to be correct. Ideally, you want it to be around 60 degrees constantly.
Yeah.
Whether it's red or white, certainly room temperature is not acceptable for long-term storage.
And colder than that's not acceptable as well?
A little colder. You can go down to 50 degrees. It's fine. The cooler, the longer it's going to last.
Right.
You don't want it freezing. You want that, 50 to 62 degrees is, kind of the range that you're looking for. You want good humidity around 60 plus degrees.
But they're in bottles. Why do you need to?
To keep the moisture in the cork. You don't want to. That's why you need a special climate control system, because not only to keep the temperature down, they also keep the moisture in, as opposed to an air conditioner, which is cooling the air but sucking the water out.
Interesting. But okay, so novice question, novice wine person. Do we still need corks in this day and age? Can plastic or some micro whatever composite do the job and we don't have to worry about the humidity?
Short answer is yes, but there's something to be said about a quality cork. And in Portugal, they've done a lot of research over the last 20 years because the problem with cork was it would have a fungus in it, and it's what would normally create a cork bottle of wine or just a bad cork. But what they've done, they've been able to reiterate these cork slabs so it kills off any type of virus or any kind of bacteria, and then make the corks out. So they're very sanitary when they go in. And the quality of these corks, you can tell, there's short, stubby corks aren't so quality, but the long, good, the grains of the cork wood in there is basically bark from an oak tree. And you can just see the different qualities of corks. And some of these corks could cost $2 or $3 a piece.
All right, let's talk about horizontality versus verticality and the proper angle to store a bottle of wine.
So if you've got wine in a real corked, using real cork.
Right.
You want it, so you can go, the bottle can lay back at a 15-degree angle and still have it immersed.
15 degrees.
Off of the base.
Okay.
So you're looking like this.
Right.
And, you can see the labels very easily, and it's keeping the cork wet.
Right.
Now, if you've got screw caps, you're not going to be storing that long anyway. So, that's in regular rotation of consumption.
Are there any bottles with screw tops in your wine cellar?
Yes, there are.
Really?
Yeah, well, there's a few. I mean, we like to entertain and we consume it.
So when the cheap guests come over, you break out the other stuff?
I would never say cheap guests.
Uh-huh.
I would say,
well, they might be listening.
Well, it could be. Well, some guests really don't want to. They don't have the taste or the appeal for the richer wines, so to speak.
And wait, now you're talking like a wine snob.
No, well, I'm just talking truth.
Okay.
When people come over, kind of know what kind of wines they enjoy. I'm not a sweet wine guy at all, but we have a number of friends that enjoy that. So we have, and it just happens to be screw caps.
Our guest today is Michael Babcock, founder of WineRacks.com, and he is the producer for a long time of the Hudson Valley Wine and Food Fest. celebrating its 25th anniversary next weekend, September 12th and 13th at the Dutchess County Fairgrounds. Got a question about wine? Tasting it, storing it, putting it in racks? Give us a call. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop. Okay, I remember the email. It's been a long week. voxpop@wamc.org. Let's talk about pairing. Well, before we talk about pairing stuff, let's talk about, you mentioned Long Island. You mentioned the Finger Lakes, which has been making Riesling for a long time. I mean, that has been a thing, and it's very good. Let's talk about some of the different regions of this area. We can throw in Massachusetts, Connecticut, whatever, but New York is getting to be a real destination for some great regional wines. Talk about the terroir and the difference from Long Island out to what makes a wine, let's say a Bordeaux in Long Island, very successful. Maybe a Riesling doesn't work in Long Island, but it works out in the Finger Lakes. Explain to me how this works in this state.
Well, not being a viticulturalist, but based on the terroirs Long Island's very sandy, gravelly. Hudson Valley is very, a coarse ground. They've got some gravel, but there's also, they've got the river that, helps with the temperates. But it's generally the minerals in the ground. I mean, it's, all the various minerality that the roots tap into, whether it be lime or metals or whatever is in there. And that's what really drives and makes the different regions all over the world, for that matter, have unique tastes and styles of their wine.
So Long Island might be on the same latitude, right, or longitude?
Latitude.
As France, but it's not going to taste the same. It could never taste the same because the ground and the weather and everything else is different.
The ground and everything is different.
In your estimation, as a wine, I'll call you a wine aficionado loosely here, I think. What does America do best? What does America do better than the old school vineyards in France?
Well, their Chardonnays from the West Coast are very good. I'm not a fan of them, but they're very good.
Why are you not a fan?
Because they oak them too much, in my opinion. There's a big distinction between the taste and the style of how it's made between a French Chardonnay versus a California Chardonnay.
Right.
I find the French better, but a lot of people find the California style much better.
And that's just taste?
That's just taste.
What about the northern West Coast?
So you've got Washington, Oregon. They're making some very, very good Pinot Noirs in that area. Northern California makes great Pinot Noirs. There's Cab Francs of the Hudson Valley are being they're doing a fantastic job with that, as well as the Finger Lakes.
And we'll see some of these folks from around here at the Hudson Valley Wine and Food Fest.
Absolutely. We've been doing for the last 15 years, I think, the Hudson Valley Grape Growers Association does their judging contest on Saturday of the event. They start at 8 o'clock and go to noon. Debbie Giaquanto, the Hudson Valley wine goddess, puts that all together and, herds the 30 wine sommeliers and tasters into our demo stage area, sets them up, and she has a big team of volunteers where they're literally setting up hundreds and hundreds of tastings of this, and so they go through all these things, and then at the end of it, they award the awards, the golds, the silvers, the bronze to whoever's there.
And these are professional wine people.
This is the real deal.
And when you taste wine, you spit it out, right?
Yeah.
That just doesn't work. It doesn't work for me, man.
Well, I've been at some wine tastings where you're tasting like 150 different wines in about an hour. And so,
that wouldn't be good.
No.
You need a designated driver for that.
Well, you don't drink it. You're looking for the taste.
Yeah.
How's it feel? What's the taste on your tongue and then, get rid of it.
The number to call here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Michael Babcock is here. He is the producer of Hudson Valley Wine and Food Fest, which will be at the Dutchess County Fairgrounds next weekend, not this one. Mike is in Massachusetts. Hello, Mike. You're there.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I am. Yeah, I wanted to just see. My son, in about 2002, bought me some Elvis Presley wine, blue suede Chardonnay from California.
Yeah.
They say he stored it in a cool, dry, a cool place.
Yeah.
And what I did, which I don't know much about wine, so I just put it in a box with a couple of shirts on top to keep it kind of cool. And I just moved recently, and I found them again. So I was wondering, is there anything good about this or what? Because I've got three bottles of it, and I, like I said, don't drink it. There's some sediment on the bottom.
Okay.
Chardonnay generally.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah,
it's got a twist up. I mean, it's got a looks like there might be a cork in there, but since I haven't opened it, I don't know.
Well, yeah, if it's got a cork, it's 2002. That's pretty old for a Chardonnay. Usually, you know, Chardonnays are meant to be consumed within the first 3 or 4 years of bottling.
Is that true?
Yeah.
What about all the stuff in your wine cellar?
It's mainly red.
Oh, interesting. All right, we'll keep
or
going.
Or champagne.
Yeah.
I'm sure the bottles look really cool.
Yeah, they do.
So, you know, I would say you might want to try one, but I'm almost guaranteeing it's not going to be good.
The sediment on the bottom is likely part of the cork, or
no? It's just the yeast that falls out of the wine.
Okay. Well, Mike, good luck. I hope you don't get ill.
Hey, I don't think I'll be trying them. I'm just going to see if I can find an Elvis fan that just wants some food. No.
All right, thanks a lot.
Good luck with that one.
Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. Little whiskey story here. Coming back from Maine with the family this summer. Stopped in New Hampshire. Went to the liquor store there. And I'm checking out. And at the end, right by the cash register, there's this bottle of... It looked just ridiculous. It was Elvis Midnight Snack, and it was bourbon with banana, bacon, and peanut butter flavoring.
Oh, my God.
And I looked at the lady at the cashier. I said, bacon, banana, peanut butter, and bourbon, what could go wrong? And she looked at me deadpan and said, everything. But it was a great-looking bottle, and I bought it, and who knows if I'll ever drink it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Our guest is Michael Babcock, founder of WineRacks.com and also the producer of the Hudson Valley Wine and Food Fest. Bess in Alford says, remember the call or the email we had about plant-based wine?
Yeah.
Bess writes, the caller who asked about plant-based wines knows wine is made from grapes. He is likely asking about wines that are not fined with animal ingredients such as blood or fish bladders. Is there blood or fish bladders anything to do with the wine process?
Not that I'm aware of, but do tell.
John writes in, let's see here, it's loading. I'll tell you, it's been that kind of week here with the internet here. And thank you all. It looks like our app is working again. So if you were listening over the radio, old school, you can listen on the app again. We fixed that. We don't know what was wrong, but it's fixed. John writes, screw caps in inexpensive wines. I have to stick up for screw caps a bit here. A good number of premium wineries started using screw caps in the 90s to avoid corkiness in wine. The issue with that is that it's a hermetic closure that doesn't allow for any gas exchange, whereas natural corks allow a tiny bit to exchange. The screw cap people compensated by allowing a tiny bit more oxygen in the airspace above the wine during bottling. Screw caps aren't just for cheap wine. In fact, almost all Austrian wines are closed with screw caps.
This is very true.
You ever had Austrian wine?
I have. I love it.
Really? Is it sweet?
No.
Do they do a lot of Rieslings up there and such?
No, they don't.
Okay. Good wine. Okay. Elizabeth writes, good wine can be appreciated by inexperienced wine drinkers, and they can tell the difference. I disagree that people who are inexperienced only deserve cheap wine because they don't know the difference. I practically never drink any alcohol. I thought I hated wine until I tasted a high-quality wine, found it to be outstanding and delicious.
Well, I'm glad you found that, and it's Nothing wrong with that.
I apologize for baiting you into that answer, and it was my fault, and I'm sorry. And I, you know what? Let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Michael Babcock is here, producer of the Hudson Valley Wine and Food Fest, which happens next weekend in Dutchess County. We'll be back. So Rocco DeFazio and I are going to be doing a live show at DeFazio's 216 in Troy on Tuesday the 15th. It's a live Vox Pop going over the air as we do it, and I have some trepidation already, but we'll be making tomato pie over there with Rocco's son Matt, and we're inviting you. If you want to go, you can find out by going to wamc.org/on the road, wamc.org/on the road, and I'm told by Peter Hughes, our producer, that there are only a handful of tickets left. So if you want to go, check it out at our website now. All right, enough of the promotion. 800-348-2551 is the number. Our guest today is Michael Babcock, founder of WineRacks.com. You guys do coolers too, right?
Sure do.
And so, you know, if a fridge is a cooler, what makes your coolers more precise for this sort of thing?
Well, they don't go, the temperature range is not as cold or not as, you know, kind of, and then there's two zones, so you can adjust the temperature, you know, warmer or cooler. So, like I said, the ideal wine temperature is around 60 degrees.
Yeah.
So a refrigerator isn't going to do 60 degrees, but that's what they are. And they're built and insulated in a way, and the vibration, all of that kind of stuff.
It seems, again, I mentioned this earlier, it seems like quite a long stretch from construction and property management. Did you ever picture yourself doing this?
Absolutely not. It was totally by accident. You know, it's just like when, you know, something happens and one thing leads to another, and here we are, you know, all these years later.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Michael Babcock joins us today in anticipation of next weekend's fun at the Dutchess County Fairgrounds, where it's the Hudson Valley Wine and Food Fest. This email from Samuel, wine tasting. I've never understood how you can get a real well-rounded tasting profile from wine without swallowing. Aha! That's my point! So much nuance seems to come from the finish in the throat and up the back of the nose. Aren't you missing these vital notes, or is my liver just telling me that? And that's from Samuel. Well written, sir.
Well, Samuel, I can't agree with you more, but when you're doing a major wine tasting, just to get the nuance and just to kind of get an idea of what it is, you know, these commercial wine tastings, you can't, because they'll literally set up 100, 150 bottles, and there's a group of 10 or 15 people going around and do that. But if you're at the wine festival coming down and tasting that, I highly recommend taking a little sip and tasting it and, you know, doing the full swallow and letting that, you know, like a little bit swoosh around, go down your throat, because I completely agree. That's where you get the best flavor. And, you know, it's about what is the whole flavor profile on your tongue, you know, the different regions of your tongue, how it reacts, the acid or, you know, anything, or how you really anticipate what that wine's going to be. So, absolutely.
Michael Babcock is our guest today. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. All right, we'll talk a little bit about pairing. And again, you know way more about the subject than I do. So I'm going to go to the butcher on the way out of work here, and I'm buying a huge carload of meat, and I'm going to grill all weekend. Give me some nice pairings for, we'll start with steak. Nice porterhouse steaks on charcoal grill. Give me one.
A really good cab or a Pinot.
And those are
red wines.
Heavier red wines?
The Pinot's going to be a lighter,
yep.
And then the cab's going to be heavier.
And when a wine is heavier or lighter, the Pinot being lighter, it's just the grapes, or are they making it in a different way?
Well, it's one, it's the grapes, and two, it's being made in a different way. I mean, it's all about the tannins and how it was aged, the oak versus steel, and that sort of thing.
And many good wines are aged in steel?
The whiter wines, the lighter wines, but the good red wines are always going to be an oak.
All right, so that's one. What about chicken on the grill?
Chicken on the grill, for me, I would go pair it with a Sancerre. Or
a good, Sancerre being, I'm sorry.
Sancerre is a Sauvignon Blanc from France, from a very specific region. Any Pinot Grigio, you know, a Chardonnay, would be my go-tos for those.
Now, if I did swordfish steaks, same as the chicken?
You know, I would actually go with a really nice rosé.
Interesting. All right, what exactly is rosé a mix of red and white?
No. It's usually a red grape where they leave the grape covers on the skins for a very short period of time and then pull it out. And that's where you get the red color from.
Interesting. Our guest today is Michael Babcock, founder of WineRacks.com and producer of the Hudson Valley Wine and Food Festival. You said, what, 53 wineries are going to be there?
52, I believe.
That's incredible. And from how far? Just in New York State or from?
Well, the vast majority are New York State wines, and then there's some other distributors that are going to be there with a variety of different wines.
Does anybody make the cut? In other words, people who want in can come, or do you ever say, well, you know what? No, not for this particular one.
That's a good question, and the short answer is no. We accept everybody that's a working farm, winery, small business. We want to give them a leg up. And so that's over the years, our bigger wineries, particularly after COVID, haven't been able to participate because they just don't have the staffing. They've grown. And so over the last 5 years, it's given an opportunity for the smaller wineries to participate and be part of our event. And we let the marketplace determine who's good and who's not good.
Okay, that's a fair answer. You know, you mentioned the COVID. So much changed during the COVID that we're still calculating. And one of those is so many businesses are having trouble finding people who want to work. Have you seen it at WineRacks.com?
Yes. I mean, just putting on our event, we need a huge staff to, do this. So we're wrangling people all the time to try and help us out. Luckily, we have a very good core that have been doing it for years and come back, and we certainly appreciate them. But we're always looking for people to come and help out for a couple of days.
You know, you're a business guy, and you've been very successful. Why do you think it has been so much tougher for everywhere from record stores to places like WineRacks.com to get employees? What happened societally?
You know, I wish I could put my finger on it. I talk to business people, all the time, and that's one of the biggest things that everybody talks about is just finding people that are willing to work. And I can't put my finger on it.
The number here is 800. Now we're getting into a different topic. It's actually Food Friday, and we're talking about wine with Michael Babcock, founder of WineRacks.com and the Hudson Valley Wine and Food Fest. So if you want to talk about business, we can do that too. But let's talk about wine. 800-348-2551. Alan is in Andover, Massachusetts. Hello there, Alan. Hello there, Alan. He's on the line. He might be listening on the radio, so let's give him a couple of seconds here. Alan? I used to know an Alan from Massachusetts, but he had no trouble talking.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. Almost lost you there. What is the difference between the Greek wine, Ouzo, and your average Italian or French wine?
Is Ouzo a wine?
Ouzo is not a wine. It's a distilled aperitif.
Oh, I thought it was a wine.
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have you ever had it? It's kind of good.
Yeah, I like it. There's nothing like a good ouzo and coffee.
Yeah.
Well, when I was in the Navy, the ouzo in Greece is, I think it's got something in it that makes you very, very violent.
Oh, boy.
Well, now,
oh, yeah,
Alan, calm down.
What do you want?
Sailors almost kill each other.
Over ouzo. Wow. Okay. Well, maybe we should.
What is it? It's an aperitif?
Yes. So we went to, my family and I went to this fabulous Greek festival in Poughkeepsie earlier this summer, and they had this fabulous Greek white wine that I'd never seen before or heard of. I can't remember the actual variety of the grape, but it was absolutely delicious, and it was reasonably priced.
Yeah. And you know what? The
Greeks are known for their wines, yeah.
Yeah, they are.
The Greeks are known for the wine, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
okay. Thank you.
Hey,
thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks,
appreciate
Alan.
It very much. Andover's way out there, so our signal must be getting through today. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Richard, who's traveling in East Greenbush. Richard, are you lost?
I'm here.
Good.
I'm here.
Go ahead. You're on.
Can you hear me?
Sure. You're on. Now we present dead air. Hello, Richard.
Come back, Richard.
You know, it's one of those. It's been some days it's barely worth it coming to work. Richard, are you there? Okay, we lost him. Well, call back. 800-348-2551. So you got a busy schedule. It's Labor Day weekend. When do preparations begin for this at the Dutchess County Fairgrounds next week?
So all of our trucks have been loaded. They finished loading them this morning, all our box trucks and everything that goes over. So first thing on Tuesday morning, all our fork trucks get delivered. The decorators come in, do the buildings, the tent people come in.
Has this grown over 25 years as far as public awareness and foot traffic?
Yeah, tremendously. I mean, we draw a crowd from over five states. Back before COVID, we had big numbers, and it's been a slow build back. But this year looks like it's going to be one of our best years since COVID.
So it's September 12th and 13th, and then what are the hours during the day?
It's 11 to 6 on Saturday and 11 to 5 on Sunday.
Gosh, the cleanup must be insane. Must take 2 days to do that.
Takes about 2 days.
Yeah, there you go. Our guest today is Michael Babcock, founder of WineRacks.com, which is a Hudson Valley-based company that provides wine storage, custom wine cellar solutions to homeowners, and also the producer of the 25th annual Hudson Valley Wine and Food Festival. You know, the Wine Fest has grown, and it seems like over the last two, three decades, the reputation of especially New York wine has grown. In olden times, even not a wine drinker, you always could see someone who would kind of look askance when you said, oh, I have a nice New York wine here. It's a different ballgame now.
Way different. I mean, back, 30, 40 years ago, the Taylor wines, all of that kind of stuff,
yeah,
which was, very popular. But you look back at that period of time, in general, the quality of wine was pretty poor. Almandine, Gallo, Jug Gallo.
Oh,
nice. Now Gallo makes some of the best bottles of wine there are. And now New York is, like, particularly over the last 15 years, has notched up to, they're competing extremely well around the world. It's just the quality of the craft of making the wine.
And I was wondering, it's sort of, and maybe I'm wrong, but it seemed like the craft beer movement was just a little ahead of the craft winery movement, at least around here. I remember the first craft breweries in the mid-80s,
right
around here.
Yeah, I remember those. And so, it's a lot of these folks are farmers. I mean, it's a crop. And so it takes almost generational times to be able to get to the quality of where you need to be. It's basically making wine is chemistry.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of work and there's a lot of knowledge that has to go into making a quality wine and experimenting. And I think what we've seen, particularly over the last 15, 20 years, is spectacular strides forward in the quality of New York State wines.
Michael Babcock is our guest. Now, remember a few minutes ago, we tried to get this guy, Richard, who was traveling in East Greenbush, and we went to him and he wasn't there. Well, he came back. Richard, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead. You're on.
Okay. I have yet to find a bottle of wine made with the Carmenere grape that I don't love. And I was just wondering if our guest could give me some of his opinion of the Carmenere grape.
I honestly am not familiar. Where is that grown?
It's a grape that was recently discovered in South America. They thought that it had disappeared in the blight, 75 years ago in France. But when they did DNA, they discovered it. They thought it was another grape, but it turned out it was the Carmenere grape.
Oh, that's very cool.
You don't find a lot of bottles. I mean, it's reasonably rare to find it. but it's a grape that was rediscovered. Literally, they thought it was gone in the blight in France many years ago, but it turned out it wasn't.
Huh. Okay. So, do you know if they've hybridized that to a new rootstock to bring that species back?
Well, they've been dealing another name. They thought it was another grape.
Ah, there you go. So it's been used all this time. Gotcha.
Hey, oh, interesting.
Richard, thanks for weighing in with that.
They've been growing it in South America and selling the wines, but they were not, I can't remember which wine grape variety they thought it was. But in any case, they...
What country in South America, Richard?
What it was. Yeah.
Say it again, Michael.
Okay.
What country in South America are you referring?
I wish I could remember. Sorry, I don't remember.
Well, that's a good one for the next time we do a wine show, and I'm sure we will, and thanks for the call. Bernd in West Fulton wrote in. Remember we were talking about the fish bladders?
Yes.
Bernd writes, ground-up swim bladders, also known as isinglass, has been used in the past to clarify wine due to its electrostatic properties.
Wow.
It makes small particles attract to each other and they settle out. Don't know how much it's used these days. May have been replaced by bentonite or other clays. Also, there are historical accounts from the 1600s of animal flesh, horse and chicken, used to thicken wine. Yum.
We have learned a lot here today, Ray.
Yeah, and to be clear, none of the wines coming up here at the Hudson Valley Wine and Food Fest are thickened with horse.
Red meat.
No, we're not going to do that.
No.
All right, man, we got 2 minutes here. Give me your best pitch on the Hudson Valley Wine and Food Fest, September 12th and 13th.
First, it's always sunny and 70 in Rhinebeck the weekend after Labor Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yes, and in particular this coming weekend. If you really enjoy a really good environment, the people that come to this event are just happy, happy people. I mean, it's so much enjoyment going on. It's a really good experience. It comes around once a year, and it's a really good value for people to come with their friends. And it's interesting. I've seen people over the years we've been doing this now, two or three people, four people come. Now they put together busloads.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10, 12, 20.
That's a smart way to go if you're going to go have some wine.
Really. I mean, it's fun to watch. I mean, there's a large number of groups that come and really just have a great time.
That is really great. And there is a website for this, correct?
HudsonValleyWineFest.com.
800-348-2551. We got time for one more. Gregory is on the road. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Really been wonderful to listen to the event and looking forward to it. It'd be my first. Just a quick comment. The caller earlier that found that old bottle of wine that didn't know if he should try to drink it. I've done a lot of wine education classes, and that to me is a great opportunity to see how oxidation impacts. As people learn about wine, you talk about the green grape and it gets exposed to air and it, gets funny colored. But nothing like opening a bottle and for a couple of seconds or sometimes a couple of minutes, it drinks well. And then the oxidation takes over and you watch it spoil in front of you. But a great opportunity. Just thought I'd mention it.
Well, that's a very interesting.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot for that one. We've got an email here real quickly. What about Israeli wine? Do you have any Israeli wine?
I don't believe there's any there this year. There have been in the past.
No, in your wine cellar, I think.
In my wine cellar? I don't believe I have any.
Elizabeth mentioned Baron Herzog
as
a wine. All right. Well, listen, we're just about done here. Once again, there is a website for the Hudson Valley Wine and Food Festival, which is?
HudsonValleyWineFest.com.
And WineRacks.com is WineRacks.com, so you can check that out, too. 800-348-2551 is the number. Why did I give it? I don't know, because the show's over. And you know what? Thanks to Michael Babcock for being with us. Man, great job.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate it. Happy Labor Day to everybody.
Yeah, and have safe travels, and hopefully we'll see you in a week or so. Support comes from Upstate Taco, Stone Ridge. Freshly crafted tacos, margaritas, and more, featuring Hudson Valley produce. Family-owned and operated with indoor dining, out on the patio seating and takeout. UpstateTacoNY.com. And the Inn at Saratoga, a historic lodging house featuring guest rooms, private events, dining, and local live entertainment in downtown Saratoga Springs. The Inn at Saratoga.com for details. Once again, thanks to Michael Babcock for joining us today. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the calls. Thanks for the emails. Thanks to Michael Bowen, our engineer. Barb King screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. All right. There's no show on Monday. They're going to let me lie on the couch all day. I'm going to do some grilling. I hope you have a lovely weekend. We will see you Tuesday at 2:00.